Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Several months ago, my office received a protected disclosure from Eglin Air Force Base indicating that there was a UAP incident that required my attention. I sought a briefing regarding that episode and brought with me Congressman Burchett and Congresswoman Luna. We asked to see any of the evidence that had been taken by flight crew in this endeavor and to observe any radar signature as well as to meet with the flight crew. We were not afforded access to all of the flight crew. And initially, we were not afforded access to images and to radar. Thereafter, we had a bit of a discussion about how authorities flow in the United States of America, and we did see the image. And we did meet with one member of the flight crew who took the image.
So y'all understand that I, and I think the other two, are also members of the House Armed Services Committee, right? Like, it is literally our job to oversee what you're doing. And now I don't know what the rules are on, you know, show up and ask for stuff. You know, sometimes you got to pass special, legislation to give that kind of authority. But still, I mean, he's not wrong. You know, hey, we heard about this. I'm here to find out. I'm your friend, by the way, because I am the congressman for this area. And so they showed up at Eglin and wanted to know what was going on. That's Matt Gaetz, our congressman, Congressman Matt Gaetz. And, you know, they at first didn't want to. And then eventually he got a little bit of information. And
the image was of something that I am not able to attach to any human capability, either from the United States or from any of our adversaries. And I'm somewhat informed on the matter, having served on the Armed Services Committee for 7 years, having served on the committee that oversees DARPA and advanced technologies for several years.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I saw it, you know, I might be like, well, that could be the Chinese lanterns. You know, we've had incidents recently where we don't know what they are. You know, it could be anything. But he's right. He's, you know, he's seen a lot of different things, and he sits on that committee, and they oversee DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which they invent all the cool stuff. And, you know, he's been in the classified briefings, and he's like, if anybody in the civilian government ought to have at least some idea, it's me. And I have no idea. I've never seen anything like that. I cannot explain it.
When we spoke with the flight crew and when he showed us the photo that he'd taken, I asked why the video wasn't engaged, why we didn't have a FLIR system that worked.
That's infrared.
Here's what he said. They were out on a test mission that day over the Gulf of Mexico. And when you're on a test mission, you're supposed to have clear airspace, not supposed to be anything that shows up. And they saw a sequence of four craft in a clear diamond formation for which there is a radar sequence that I and I alone have observed in the United States Congress.
Yeah, so he sees something, nobody else has seen it, and he can't explain it, and the FLIR and the radar and the video were all disabled, and so this dude takes a picture.
One of the pilots goes to check out that diamond formation and sees a large floating, what I can only describe as an orb, again, like I said, not of any human capability that I'm aware of. And when he approached, he said that his radar went down, he said that his FLIR system malfunctioned, and that he had to manually take this image from one of the lenses, and it was not automated in collection, as you would typically see in a test mission.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you send these planes out and they're observing and they got all their stuff observing, right? And so the forward-looking infrared, that's looking, the radar, the video, all of that, none of that was working. You know, hey, all systems go. All right, Pete, full, you know, go ahead. Oh, nothing's working. And, you know, it sounds like he manually operated the camera to take pictures. It doesn't sound like he pulled out his cell phone or something. But I don't know. I haven't seen the picture. And so Matt starts asking the members of the panel that have been brought to the House Oversight Committee, what do you think about this? We'll get to their comments in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
not showing any slowdowns or delays in this area. It looks like everything is traveling at posted speeds. I-10, I-110, the General Chappie James, that is the 3-mile bridge, also traveling at posted speeds. If you see an accident or a slowdown, or you want to comment on these UAPs, it's crazy. 437, 1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, Candy, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, and if you have a thought, like sort of a what do you think is going on here, I'd love to get your text because I know I don't have great answers. But back to Matt Gaetz asking questions of the panel. The one guy was an intelligence guy and the other two were pilots. And so, you know, got a lot of information from them. I haven't had a chance to watch the whole hearing. I will listen to it today. But, you know, this was a portion that I thought was particularly interesting yesterday.
How should we think about the fact that this craft that was approached by our pilot had the capability of disarming a number of the sensor and collection systems on that craft?
Well, I think this goes to that national security side, and you can go back through history of things showing up at certain areas and disabling our capabilities, which is disheartening. And for us, I mean, like I said, it completely disabled the radar on the aircraft when it tried to do it, and the only way we could see it is passively, which is how he got that image. So I think that's a concern on what are these doing, not only how do they operate, but their capabilities inside to do things like this.
I always love, I said it before, I'll say it again, I always love the military folks that are at least a little bit practiced at, you know, public communication, have, let's just say, a gift for anti-hyperbole. They have, you know, like, it's not even fair to call this an understatement when you have all of your recording and observational equipment disabled by an unknown aerial phenomenon.
Things showing up at certain areas and disabling our capabilities, which is disheartening.
It's disheartening. You know, I'm trying to picture the pilots, you know, and they're there with their other crew on the airplane, and they, you know, hey, boss, the FLIR stop, Roger. Radar stop, Roger. Video stop. Well, that's disheartening.
That was the original script for Top Gun, I think, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, when, I don't know, Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon are inside the asteroid and they suddenly discover they're not inside an asteroid, you know, like, well, that's disheartening. You know, that's got to have been what they were going through. So Matt goes on.
And how should we think about four craft moving in a very clear formation, equidistant from one another, in a diamond? In all of the phenomenon, perhaps, Mr. Grave, that you've analyzed, have we ever seen multiple craft in a single formation?
Well, I will say this, the way I heard him describe it, I think I might have seen a UAP.
From the right, at 400 miles per hour, the diamond roll. All four aircraft flying as one in this graceful 360-degree rolling maneuver.
Yeah, they're just, it's just the Blue Angels. That's all they're seeing. No, it's not the Blue Angels.
I have one particular case, and that was during the gimbal incident. The recording on the AT FLIR system shows a single object that rotates. You hear the pilots refer to a fleet of objects that is not visible on the FLIR system, and that was something that I witnessed during the debrief as part of the radar data on the situational awareness page.
So what he's saying is that where we have video of, you know, one of these incidents, the gimbal incident, the pilots are describing something to the side that's not on the video because it's forward-looking. That's what FLIR stands for. So, you know, there's something else out there that they haven't captured except that they saw it. So the real issue here in my mind, and I don't think anybody has answers. Nobody has answers. I love the quote that I heard Fox was playing at one of the newscasts at the top of the hour this morning. And, you know, the guy's like, was it extraterrestrial? And the answer was like, well, I mean, I prefer the term non-human. Like, how is that better? You mean they could have been living here the whole time? Like,
I thought that the whistleblower thing would be a lot more exciting. And they're like that the whole time. Well, I prefer non-human. You're like, oh, my God, you have to ask all these weird questions.
You think that they're living in caves like the Atlantis people or something underneath the sea. But, okay, fine. The real issue is
making it worse.
Yeah, always. I'm good at that. We don't know what we don't know. We don't know what we haven't been told because there's this kind of culture of don't talk. And we're finally getting these pilots, thank goodness, come forward and, you know, feel free to come forward and tell the truth, and it's not going to cost them their careers.
I would like to add, whoever, Congressman, there's a small bit of anger, I would say, I would feel that those pilots are still facing that difficulty in reporting this topic, and they don't have the tools to be able to mitigate this issue. It just goes to show how serious this is and why this is such an important issue for our pilots and for our nation.
Yeah, no, totally agree. So, you know, Matt says, look, we need to get this picture needs to get in the hands of more people so they can assess it. We need to get inside the skiff so that we can have a real briefing about what's going on here. We need to end this culture of silence and, you know, censoring and feeling like people cannot tell their stories. I agree with all of that because we just don't know what we're dealing with. Somebody here says 437-1620. Somebody texted me and said, well, why don't we try to shoot down one of these UFOs? You know, this is not strike first, strike hard, no mercy. This is strike first, we die. Like, you know, let's not start.
Have you seen any movies?
Intergalactic incident because, you know, we're kind of curious to find out if an AIM-9 Sidewinder is going to work on them. Like, that's not our goal. Somebody here says, oh, it's the aliens. We're mad they they're just mad that we harness their tech to build F-35s instead of hyperspace travel. So they hack the jet. Somebody says, no, those were advanced Chinese Air Force copying the Blue Angels diamond formation over the Gulf of Mexico. They steal everything. Somebody else says, yeah, it could just be the Blue Angels. No. Somebody here says, I could be very wrong, but isn't China capable of creating really cool tech that could do things like this? You know, I think they're thinking of the drone displays and things. I've heard that they could shut down our computers and electricity. Why couldn't they do something like this? And then this certainly must be my favorite comment of the day. We finally have somebody with a solution. We have a solution-oriented listener here who texts in at 437-1620. I think that James Calkins is now going to pass a resolution banning aliens.
James McCalkins.
Yeah. 722 on News Radio 92.3. I don't know where they get this snarky attitude from. Like,
I can't imagine, dude.
You know, you would think that would only crop up in a place where they felt encouraged and emboldened that was acceptable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel live Friday mornings at 9 a.m. and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you love church? Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20:28 says that Christ purchased the church with his blood. 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So obviously, the New Testament places a huge priority on the church. If you're a Christian but not a member of a local Bible preaching church, I urge you to get involved as soon as possible. You possess unique spiritual gifts that can be used within the body of believers. Hebrews 10 tells Christians to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us to worship him and provoke others to love and good works. Attend a Bible-believing church this Sunday.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Autobots, transform and roll out.
So we do know what they are. That was a listener suggestion. Oh, man, texted that in. I thought, oh, I can make that happen. 725 on News Radio 92.3, informative local panel. I would prefer to know which kind of Transformers they are. That would be my preference. I want to know.
Yeah, we don't want those Decepticons. Yeah, we want the Autobots.
Decepticons, right? That's right. Can keep that to yourself. 725 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
That's Transformers, by the way. Okay. Highway 90, everything looking great right now. We're not showing any problems on Alvin. Avalon on 87. It looks like everything is running smoothly in both directions on Davis, on Olive, 9 Mile. If you have a traffic tip, text it in, if you would, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy.
Autobot fan.
Oh.
Optimus Prime.
Well, you're faithful and loyal to the Autobots until the Decepticons are in charge of the Earth, and then you'll sing a different tune. What are you going to be, the Resistance?
Won't.
The dead Resistance? Come
on. I'll transform myself into a beetle.
Drive away at 13 miles an hour.
Candy beets.
You'll go the speed of the boats under the NOAA regulations, 11 and a half miles an hour.
You don't want to go down this road with me, McKay. You want to do your news?
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hunter Biden's plea deal involving tax and gun charges hit a bit of a snag yesterday. Biden was expected to plead guilty to two misdemeanor counts of failure to pay income taxes. The judge, though, said she wasn't ready to accept that deal and asked both sides to file additional briefs.
Who's Coke? Sorry. I'm sorry. You know, that's a different story, but I still can't believe that the answer is, well, we just don't know. We just don't know.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead, David.
Cameras everywhere, but we can't figure it out.
Right.
The Federal Reserve no longer forecasting a recession this year. That according to Fed Chairman Jerome Powell after they raised interest rates by another quarter point yesterday. And three of the original Tuskegee Airmen that made U.S. aviation history in World War II were honored during an aircraft exchange ceremony at Joint Base Andrews yesterday. Now, a crowd gathered to celebrate the service of Colonel Carl Johnson, William Thomas Fauntroy Jr., and Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Ware. Johnson and Fauntroy, 97, Ware, 100 years old. During that ceremony, a PT-17 plane that trained hundreds of the Tuskegee Airmen was transferred, and that's going to go on display at the National Air Force Museum in Ohio as part of an exhibit on the Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, that's very cool. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 727 on News Radio 92.3. One text we got in here, somebody says, after all, they found us, we didn't find them. somebody here says,
yeah, that's better.
I'm going to go with this. There's no mention of other beings coming to Earth in the Bible. You believe what you want. I believe all the rest is garbage. It's just an interesting thought. I'll give you just a couple of things for that. There is mention of other beings coming to Earth in the Bible. You just don't call them aliens, you call them
angels.
Yeah, demons. I mean, I'm not saying it's the same. I'm just, you know, things might be described in a little bit weirder way. By the way, this has been historically one of the reasons why, you know, conservative Christians who take the Bible seriously have been reluctant to embrace the notion that there could even be other life, because it seems to undercut the notion of us as the primary creation of God or of us as uniquely in need of salvation. I mean, there's a lot of sort of theology wrapped up in this question, whether there's beings from other planets. But just as I don't know the answer. I wish I did. I don't know the answer. I am agnostic on that question. I'm not agnostic about Jesus. I'm agnostic about the question of aliens because I don't think the Bible gives us a definitive answer one way or the other. But I will say this, that historically, people have been averse to embracing new conceptions of the universe because they thought they were at odds with things they thought were clearly established in the Bible, which, for example, the geocentric versus the heliocentric view of the universe, right? They thought the Earth was at the center of everything, and one of the reasons that they were reluctant to embrace the idea that the sun was at the center of our solar system and that ours could be just this little teeny speck in the grand cosmos or whatever is because, you know, that seemed to be at conflict with what their cosmogony said, the point is, be cautious about too adamant a statement about what something that's relatively quiet in the Bible. You know what I mean? That's my one thought. So
were dinosaurs in the Bible though?
Well, it depends on who you ask. You know, if you talk about Leviathan and Behemoth, and you know, I mean,
I don't know.
Those are creatures that are mentioned in the Bible, and you know, were they contemporaneous with humans? I mean, this is all into the sort of the question of, you know, is the Earth young? Is the Earth old? What did we live with? You know, which theory do you believe the Bible affirms? How adamant does the Bible affirm? And all of that. There's just sometimes we kind of get, you know, caught up in what we think is the way the universe has to be based on what we think is the correct interpretation of that particular text. And, sometimes people have been wrong about that. And it turns out that a different view is actually compatible in a way we hadn't seen until after we discovered the thing. Like, again, heliocentrism versus geocentrism, the Earth at the center versus the sun at the center, to me, a great example. Oh, by the way, just total side note on that subject. Nobody ever believed the Earth was flat. That's nonsense. It was invented by Washington Irving. It's my most despised historical myth. Nobody ever thought the Earth was flat. except a couple of NBA players. David Wayne will have your news coming up next.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Up to a federal judge in Delaware, what happens next with Hunter Biden's for now rejected plea deal on tax charges? His attorneys and prosecutors have 30 days to address Judge Mary Ellen Nareka's questions and concerns.
When the judge asked one simple question of the prosecution, is this criminal investigation to Hunter Biden over? The prosecutor said no, and then the judge replied, quote, I have concerns about the agreement. I can't let him plead to something if he thinks he has protection from something and he doesn't.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. A girl reported to have run away from home in Arizona 4 years ago walks into a police station in Montana to say that she is Alicia Navarro, 18 years old now.
She is, by all accounts, safe. She is, by all accounts, healthy. And she is, by all accounts, happy.
Glendale, Arizona police spokesman Jose Santiago says she's very apologetic about what she's put her mother through. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 79 sunshine in Pensacola. The design phase for the new Pensacola International Airport getting underway soon. The city's hired EXP US Services to start that process. Deputy Airport Director Ken Eibold says part of the design and construction will include 5 new gates being added to the 10 already at the airport.
What it does is it gets us, we expect, probably about 15 years, 20 years into the future. And it allows us to take the next step in building what we consider to be the ultimate development.
And Eibold says the ultimate build-out configuration would be around 22 to 23 gates, but he says that would be well into the future. As for now, though, the hope is that construction on the new terminal could start as soon as 2024 or early 2025. Well, it's never a good time to be understaffed, but it's especially challenging right now in Escambia County after an unusually high spell of structure fires.
Usually we'll go one structure fire every 2 days. We'll get the anomaly where we get two back to back or something like that. But we've been having a lot of structure fires here lately. I think in the past week or so, we've had a 9.
At Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore there currently. He says Escambia County Fire Rescue is down about 8 people, mostly due to retirements and promotions. Also, they're looking for a new fire chief after Jason Cantrombone resigned last month. Gilmore says the good news is that the cadet program is continuing to produce results, and the 2024 fiscal year proposed budget is allowing for 21 new firefighters to be hired. Well, new video released now showing the suspect in the downtown machete attack being tased by a PPD officer. And that video obtained from a witness by Channel 3. In it, you hear the sound of that machete falling to the ground. It was kicked away by an officer. That's after they tased 19-year-old Andrew Ryder. He's charged with attempted homicide for allegedly hitting a man in the head with that machete at the Old Hickory Whiskey Bar on Palafox. The video has been shared to the News Radio 92.3 Facebook page if you want to take a look at it. A father and son were hurt in a dispute in Escambia County, Alabama yesterday. That happened in the Pollard community on Old Highway 31. Deputies say a man hit his father in the head with a firearm several times, leading his father to shooting him several times. When deputies arrived, they say they found the man in the front yard of a home with several gunshot wounds. He was flown to the hospital by a helicopter. The father also taken to the hospital for a large laceration in his head. Investigation into the incident is ongoing. We don't have a current update on the conditions of either of the men, and currently deputies say there are no charges pending. Police in Crestview are investigating a fatal motorcycle crash. 23-year-old Jay Pace was thrown from a motorcycle after hitting a vehicle that was crossing North Fairdon Road. Police say in the moments before that crash, Pace had been accelerating rapidly and doing illegal wheelies on the bike. Another motorcyclist was riding with him and was not involved in the crash. Officers say alcohol and drugs are not thought to be a factor. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
And the good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays right now. It doesn't look like any accidents, which is good news. 98 accident-free. It looks like Avalon not showing any problems. Taking a look in Milton, a little slow coming from Pace into Pensacola on the bridge over Escambia Bay. But not bad. It looks like construction, so it might be down to one lane for just a portion of the bridge, but not even stopped, just a little bit slow. If you see an accident or a slowdown, let us know if you would. Text in your traffic tips, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine through the morning hours. 20% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon, high near 94 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. We're going to be seeing a very similar day for your Friday with plenty of sunshine in the morning, 20% chance of showers in the afternoon, high near 93 degrees. Stay connected to the WEAR news team. Download the WEAR TV weather app today. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 79 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. For 2 years, Coca-Cola has been raising prices on its drinks to combat higher costs, but the company now says it's done hiking prices this year in developed markets like the U.S. and Europe. Coca-Cola follows the lead of rival PepsiCo, which said in February it wouldn't raise prices beyond its usual hike for beverages in the fourth quarter. Coke's prices were up 10% in the second quarter compared with the year-ago period. CNBC says the California Attorney General's office is investigating Tesla, seeking information from customers and former employees about autopilot safety issues and false advertising complaints. The owner of a 2018 Tesla Model 3 filed a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission last August regarding phantom braking, sudden automatic braking by a car for no apparent reason that he experienced when using the company's driver assistance systems or autopilot on the highway. The AG's office has reportedly interviewed that man as part of its probe. On Wall Street, futures pointing to strong gains at the open. That's Your Money Now.
Today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join Pensacola Habitat for Humanity as they discuss their mission of building homes, communities, and hope. Learn about special upcoming events and programs designed to improve our community and bring much-needed relief for those in need. Discover ways to volunteer and donate to enhance lives of so many in the community. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Monday, July 17th at approximately 8:30 p.m., someone threw a brick through the window of this particular location. This brick had graffiti on it, some anti-Semitic graffiti that was on it. We've had, off the top of my head, we've had at least two others that we know for a fact are anti-Semitic.
Okay, now what? This is Police Chief Eric Randall talking during D.C. Reeves' press conference on Tuesday, and you know, I had read the story about the one, and he said there were at least two other incidents involving anti-Semitic expressions or incidents. So let's find out what's going on. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning.
Andrew, before we get started, I just want to let you know that I do know who you are, and congratulations on the Marconi Award nomination.
Oh, you're
so
sweet.
Much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's very kind. So what is going on here? Is this a pattern? How serious are these incidents? Tell me what I don't know.
Well, we've had three incidents, and we're taking those very seriously because of because of simply what happened, the anti-Semitic writings, the graffiti, the message on the brick. So there's been three of them, and we have detectives working on that. And hopefully we'll be able to make an arrest on that soon. So, you know, this can be could be a hate crime. It all depends. You know, if you have a 10-year-old that's doing it that just copied things from off the Internet, is that a hate crime? Probably not. But if we arrest somebody that we find lots of things on their computer, we find things at their home and things like that, that make it no doubt that it's a hate crime. So that kind of distinction needs to wait until we make an arrest.
No, that's fair. You know, I don't know if I should tell this story, but it gets to your point about inadvertency. I mean, I remember when I was like, gosh, 5 or 6, and I had made a paper airplane, and knowing no better, I had drawn the swastika on the tail of it or whatever. And my mom was like, no, you know, you know, so it's, you got to tell whether, are we dealing with, like you said, you know, a kid, or are we dealing with something that's really deliberate? Now, I know the one at the temple, and then I guess graffiti at the train station was another one. What was the third incident?
At East Hill Animal Clinic or Animal Hospital.
Okay. All right. So this is ongoing, just trying to figure out, aside from the fact that they were three anti-Semitic incidents or graffitis or vandalism, I mean, is there any other evidence at this point linking them? Is it the timeliness of them all together? You tell me. You know better. I don't know.
Well, other than the timing, all three were close together. That's the only link that we have between the timing and the content. So,
okay.
Yeah, until we're able to make an arrest, we can't say for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. We'll look forward to finding out more about that. This incident on Palafox with the guy in the mask and the machete and the taser and the clanging sound of the machete not being in his possession anymore, this is scary to imagine how people might have reacted to this. He could easily have wound up getting killed over this. Thank goodness the officers chose a less lethal form of response. But, man, what an awful incident.
Yeah, you know, I'm always talking about how these officers have to make split-second decisions, and that was one of them. They were on Palafox. There's a lot of pedestrians down there. And to use the firearm certainly would have been justified in this situation. But they have to think about what's beyond that individual. And if there's pedestrians back there, then maybe you need to try less lethal first. And that's what they did. And fortunately, it worked.
Yeah. And they yelled several times, you know, drop it, drop it, drop it. Why don't people just drop it? I just don't get it. You know, you can save yourself an awful lot of problems. And instead, he didn't and he doesn't. And so, I mean, there we go. We also I know you and I had talked about this last week, but I just want to, you know, check in. Do we have any more information on the shooting that took place at Creighton last week?
No, that one's still under investigation. We have investigators working on that. The last time I checked with them, they had not run into any brick walls on that particular case. So hopefully that one will come to a conclusion soon as well.
All right, very good. And I guess there was a kind of an unusual incident that took place at the Sonic, or, you know, in the vicinity of the Sonic on 9th Avenue.
Yeah, officers responded to the Sonic in reference to a male that was selling stolen property from a previous burglary on East Jordan Street. The individual fled over to 7-Eleven Underwood, which is an apartment complex near there. Officers made contact and arrested him. And meanwhile, here comes someone else running in that direction and being chased by an employee at Pensacola State College. And it turns out that individual burglarized the school and took a laptop, and he ran right toward Pensacola police who were working that previous case, and he was taken into custody too. So it wasn't his day.
That's just like a movie or a TV show.
You guys are in the middle of making arrest on Underwood with this other stolen property case, and the PSC campus security, police, I don't know which, chases a thief running away with a laptop right into your net. that's crazy.
Yeah. It was one-stop shopping for bad guys at that point.
That's hilarious. So I guess the rule is, you know, if you see police in the area, try to chase your thieves in that direction. I got to ask this. Is there comparable body cam of the guy suddenly realizing what's happening and dropping the laptop to the ground for that clanging around like the machete drop? Or is there nothing like that, is there?
I haven't looked. Probably not. I'm sure that he realized he ran in the wrong direction fairly quickly, though.
Oh, man. I would love to see the expression on his face. Just what did I run into? Yeah. Quick timeout. We'll get back to Mike Wood in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I'm into this. As we take a look at our roads, we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like everything is running fine. Not showing any problems on 29. That looks accident-free. We're watching areas where maybe the lights, that's the only congestion I'm seeing, and nothing too long. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, you were telling me that you actually have kind of a connection with this director of police down in Miami who attempted to take his life. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. Freddie Ramirez, Director Ramirez is his name. He comes to the PIO workshops that I attend every year, comes in, introduces himself to the class. He has lunch with us. And I've got to tell you what an outstanding individual this man is. The people that work for him, officers that work under him, say that he is a great motivator and leader. And for something like this to happen to him where he shot himself in the head is just, it was very shocking to me and everybody that knows him. So, this just goes to show something like this, you never know what people are fighting on the inside. It can happen to absolutely anyone. And, if things like that, if you're fighting those demons inside, I urge people to reach out. You can call the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline or just simply talk to somebody before doing something drastic like that. But, yeah, it was shocking. He's a wonderful person.
It reminds me of, it's a very different circumstance, but you'll tell me if I'm making a completely inappropriate connection. I remember talking with former police chief Tommy Leiter after the the race incident where he said that, look, what happens is, officers sometimes go through trauma that accumulates over time, and it's not necessarily one big event, but it's just, things pile up and accumulate and, like plaque in the arteries kind of thing in your brain and over time, and then suddenly something just snaps or goes wrong or whatever, and somebody can seem like they're handling it, and sometimes they pretend to be handling it and they're not, but it's not necessarily a thing that can set somebody off, but it can just be all of the accumulated trauma and the things that police officers see over the course of their careers. Am I misreading this situation or?
No, that's exactly right. Officers see more traumatic things in a month than most people will ever see in their lifetimes. So you take an officer that goes 20, 25, 30 years of service, that can build up. But, fortunately it used to be back in the day, you only went to see a counselor if something traumatic happened to you or you were involved in it or you witnessed it. Now we have the option of going anytime we want to, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, no, and it's good to have that and good to have the, sort of have to go every once in a while just to make sure let's check everybody out and make sure that they're getting the help and diagnosing things before they're to that stage, obviously. Last thing that we always like, I know this is a very difficult thing for you to go through. So, I'm so sorry that you're having to deal with that. Even though he lives, still very difficult to deal with. I hate to dwell on this, but because it makes you sort of doubt everybody because it makes you think, well, who am I working with that's going through this same stuff? And it starts to make you wonder even about you. I mean, that's just a very normal reaction to when something unexpected like that happens to a person that you thought otherwise was doing great. Just like when your best friends are having a great marriage and all of a sudden they announce they're getting divorced and you think, oh, my God, everything's up. And so I know that is also a shared trauma to everybody else in the police, right?
Yeah, it is. And, the Pensacola Police Department is no stranger to an incident like that, which, something happening like that you never saw coming with certain individuals. So, yeah, just want people to reach out and ask for help. And before you do anything drastic, just give the professionals an opportunity to help.
All right. Very good. Last thing that we always like to end on is a did you know or a cop myth or a why do we do that? Do you have one for this week, Mike?
Yeah, and this is a rerun because it happens all the time, and I got a question about it this week, so I felt like we needed to talk about it again. And people want to know why, if they just went through a stop sign or some very minor traffic issue, why do two Pensacola police officers come to that traffic stop? And it makes them feel You know, they feel intimidated. They feel like that they're being treated as a criminal. And that's not the intent at all. What that is a policy that we have for officer safety reasons, that when you stop a car or you get out with a person for a field interview or any other call, just about everything we do, we're going to send at least another officer for backup until we know that that situation is going fine. And then that officer can break and go someplace else if he needs to. So it has nothing to do with a person being stopped. It's just officer safety reasons.
Well, and I mean, as something that I had learned from doing ride-alongs with y'all several years ago is the picture you have from the television or the movie is that you have two cops riding in this car all the time, and it's often just one police officer, and of course you want an additional officer on the scene, both from the officer safety point of view, but also from the, you know, the person being, you know, just stopped point of view. That's more eyes, that's more involvement. That's always better for everybody involved. And again, because, you know, single people in cars, it's good to have an extra person. So that makes perfect sense. I'm glad you addressed that for us. Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe and to keep us informed, sir. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
You bet. 751 News Radio 92.3. I got a text in from a friend. Says, in the aviation community, we call it the garbage bag. We keep adding trash, and then it's okay until it's too full and it tears, and then it's not okay. That is a good metaphor, unfortunately. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go, what to buy, whatever, Frontier Motors is a great place to do that shopping. They have 300 cars and trucks and sedans and vans and SUVs and sports cars on the lot at any time, and you can compare a lot of different kinds of vehicles all side by side. You don't have to go all across town looking at the different ones. But the other thing for me, like what really convinced me, like I had a great experience with Frontier. You know, we wound up buying a car that we weren't trying to buy, but it was such a good deal and it was the exact car we wanted. But it was after I bought the car, because I bought a lot of cars before. It's not a big deal. But most of the time, I feel a little icky about it afterwards, or sometimes a lot icky, and feel like, man, I think they're hoping that they never see me again. You know, like that kind of problem. At Frontier, they want to see you again because they treat you so well after the sale. Like, there's a cool thing that happens when you buy it. I won't ruin it for you. It's a great surprise. But when after, like a 6 months later, they'll probably call you like they called me to make sure the car's good. And when Calvin called me, I was like, yeah, it's fine, you know. And then a year after, he called me again. And he said, is there anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, well, one of the keys. He's like, bring it in. We'll fix it. I'm like, what? It's a year since I bought this car. What are you talking about? It's like, how much is it going to be? He's like, no, on us. You bought a car. You get two keys. So I brought it in. He fixed it. It took about 10 minutes. They gave us the new key. It was the physical key, not the fob. Okay, but still, you know. And so we were good. I'm like, what? You know, why would I go anywhere else? If they're going to take care of me, even if problems come up, man, I'm in. So Frontier Motors is the only place to buy good quality vehicles in Pensacola, for me anyway, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
We are the Gulf Coast's premier local digital marketing partner. Did you know every campaign we create is done right here from our radio studio office, right here in Pensacola? Locally customized, locally designed, locally planned, locally executed, and locally optimized for your success by our team of media marketing professionals that really know Northwest Florida and South Alabama. Our team makes sure your campaign contains the most attention-getting display and video elements and the most advanced targeting to make sure your marketing budget is used in the most effective way possible. We are ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners, your team of trusted media professionals under the same roof of the radio names you know and love, like Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist. Begin your partnership with ADX Digital today by emailing connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Are you looking for a way to safely grow your savings and move your future forward now? Look no further than Gulf Winds Credit Union's money market account. The rate's so good, we're afraid to just spring it on you unprepared. Your safety is very important to us. Just know that your Gulf Winds money market account will make your money work harder and give you the flexibility you need to stash cash for your future. Visit gogolfwinds.com and open the account with bigger savings and more flexibility today. Federally insured by NCUA, see gogolfwinds.com for full details.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Missed it by that much.
The finalists for Media Market Station of the Year are WXKB-FM, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. WYOI-FM, in Jackson, Mississippi. WTIB-FM, Greenville, New Bern, Washington, North Carolina. WHO-AM, Des Moines, Ames, Iowa. WNRP-AM, Mobile, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida.
I can hear the celebration across the country.
That's just us screaming. That's what you're hearing. Nice. Woo-hoo! And kudos, Candy, who made the submission for News Radio 92.3. And we are a finalist for Media Market Station of the Year for News Radio. So, woohoo, that's a Marconi from the National Association of Broadcasters. 756 on News Radio 92.3. Also, very much appreciate all the love we got from Channel 3 yesterday talking about it. And even this morning, I've seen Jared and they're talking, Laura, they're talking about it. So thank you so much for the congratulations. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays, except in Pace, Highway 90. It's West Spencerfield Road. I guess technically, yeah, Milton Highway 90 and West Spencerfield Road and Milton, well, Pace. I don't know. Anyway, there's no roadblock. Use caution there. Use caution wherever you are. Yeah, that's a Pace area. Sometimes they label it wrong on our maps. Not showing any other problems on Highway 90 or Highway 98, for that matter. Not showing any issues. It looks like you're good to go on Avalon. And if you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know. Text in your traffic tips at 437-1620 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Okay, I got the best crazy conspiracy / 80s movies theory going here from
you
a texter.
Do?
Yeah, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got the aliens over the Gulf. Okay, we got the NOAA restrictions on the fishing, the boats, because of the Rice's whales. And somebody says, Andrew, do you think the reason the Biden administration wants to move special forces, AFSOC, from Hurlburt out to Davis-Monthan in Arizona might be because they're worried that the aliens know where we are at Hurlburt, you know, with the Spookies and the Ospreys and all that, and they don't want to have us inadvertently shoot down the alien spacecraft over the Gulf of Mexico when all they're trying to do is communicate with the Rice's whales that they haven't heard from in a long time, a la Star Trek IV. You know,
I was thinking that Star Trek 4 and I
7:58 on News Radio 92.3
informative. You don't know, like you're a news guy, like you're up for a Marconi and you're just like, oh, right.
Informative, local, speculative. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Actual news, David.
Well, authorities not releasing a lot of details about the death of Sinead O'Connor, who died yesterday at 56. London police says she was found unresponsive at an address in London and pronounced dead at the scene. Her death not being treated as suspicious. And for medical marijuana customers, you can no longer use MasterCard to buy cannabis products. The company telling financial institutions that it's no longer allowing marijuana purchases with its debit cards because most U.S. banks won't service cannabis payments because it's still federally illegal.
You know,
I was going to say, you can't use credit cards anyway.
I was going to say, that doesn't surprise me, but I also can't imagine that not being every credit card. Like, because at the federal level, it's still illegal. This is why a lot of your folks we heard this first out of Colorado, but that, you know, they can't get banking services because the banks are so regulated by the feds and the feds prohibit marijuana, therefore doing transactions with people that sell a federally prohibited substance, right? So, and you're saying you can't even do it here.
You cannot use a credit card in a weed store here.
Because of the banking connections, I'm sure. You know, that's, I'm assuming that's the reason why. So I would, a MasterCard may be the first to officially announce it, but I would imagine all the others are going to follow suit as well. We'll be back in just a minute with the Gulf Breeze News.